So you've been talking about these different projects that you've been working on. The flashcard or the Anki-esque app, the spaced repetition app, and then another app or program you've been working on with a friend. And I think one more something. You're doing a lot of things. And you've been talking about releasing something, or really releasing all of them or putting them out there. I just want to know if you have a date set for any of them yet. And if not, why not? And can you set one? Or do you want to? I don't know. I just want to get into that.
What an obnoxious question.
I mean, I'm ready for you to flip it back on me because I also kind of want to talk about checkpoints or certain times I need to release things. Like I'm trying to come up with some deadlines for myself too. So this, you will get your revenge, but we'll start with you.
I'll tell you where I'm at right now, literally today. So, you know that meme of the guy with his girlfriend and he's like looking over at this other girl?
Yes.
Well, that's me right now. This is the 80% finished project that I'm trying to release, and over there is like brand new thing that's
Right.
0% finished, totally fresh idea. That's me right
So,
now.
which one is which?
So, the spaced repetition app, which I am calling, I think it's the official name is Seriously, spelled Srsly, which I think is funny. Probably no one else does.
No, I do too. I don't think you should release that, but because you haven't. But all right.
Whatever. I'll bleep it out if I decide I really don't want to announce that. So this, I'm at the point where I've kind of decided, okay, I need to release it. I have the MVP defined, like what is the least amount of features it can have to be worthwhile. So I've carved that out. I know what it is, and I've said, okay, here's what has to be done. And then I do this and I put it out there. And even if there's hardly any users, it's fine. Hopefully it's enough to slowly get some momentum, get some feedback, and go from there, right? Like I'm anticipating a very slow rollout, which is fine. Two things have happened, I think, that have intersected, kind of like two waves in an ocean when they cross and they become this giant thing. So one is that for this first milestone, I'm about 80% there. And one of the things that happens when you're getting close to the end of a project or having to release it is that you start thinking about all the existential stuff. At the very beginning, when there's no end in sight, you don't have to think about the end. You just think about, huh, I'm gonna do all this stuff. It's fun, whatever. You're just dreaming. At the end of it, you have that question of, oh my God, is this any good? And what, right. So there's that. So that's one way. The other thing that's happening is that there is this natural process in a project where all of the garbage, all the crappy stuff that you don't want to do just like sinks down to the bottom. If you have this big wide open thing of, okay, do something on this project, you just naturally gravitate towards the stuff that's interesting or you feel like you can accomplish and whatever. And if you get stuck on something, you tend to leave it alone, and it all just filters down to the bottom. So now I'm at the bottom of this bucket, like just having to swim through all this crap. Like, oh my God, billing and signing contracts with app stores, and like just all the crap that sucks and I never wanted to do. I gotta do that. So these two things have like intersected where existential dread of the project, and then all of the crappy stuff I have to do during that period of dread. So it's the worst. That's where I'm at there. And my brain is just like rebelling and wanting to jump onto anything else. And so this other idea comes along, and I'm like, yes, let's do that. That's what I need to be doing. And so there's this huge emotional gravity toward that thing. So I've been on a bit of a bender the past few days, just pouring time into this new idea and completely ignoring the spaced repetition thing. That's my current state.
That feels very familiar. Very, very familiar. I'm working on a painting and probably Yeah, probably the exact same spot where it felt so good at the beginning. It was going great. You're all excited. You do all the fun stuff. And then all the stuff that's left is just all the things that didn't make sense or you didn't know how to do, so you skipped them. And now you're just sort of frustrated and clueless and lost. And so I think in the past, I have found deadlines help me get through this stage pretty well. Sometimes deadlines kill the joy of something, but sometimes they're really good at wrapping things up. And so I don't know. I'm trying to get to a point where, or I'm trying to lead this conversation to, can we come up with a joint deadline for something if it makes sense? I'm trying to finish this painting by, I think it was May 15th. I think that's the date. Halfway through next
So,
month.
all right, so a month and change,
Yeah.
5 weeks probably.
Yeah. Is that
It's,
I think I need a deadline for this, and it's always
yeah.
a lot easier if someone else is dragged down with me.
I think I probably do too. I mean, it's kind of tough, right? Part of it is, yeah, I know that I'm avoiding something that's difficult that I don't want to do. But also it's nice to have this big wave of energy and focus and
Yeah, to put
even
on something else.
fixation. What's that?
To put on something else.
Well, yeah, but even outside of that, it's nice to feel like, yesterday I'm working on this thing and the workday is over, it's kind of the wind down time. Usually I'll watch TV or play a game, and so I start that and then just like I just want to go back to it, and so I pull the laptop out and start working again. Like it's cool to have that big wave of motivation where I'm super focused and it's really enjoyable, and part of me is like, hey, it's a bit of a break from having to grind a bit. It's kind of rejuvenating in a way. Now, where it leaves me at the end of the week, I don't know, but I'm aware of what's happening and I'm kind of letting it happen and I'm not super upset about it. But at the same time, I am trying to figure out, okay, how do I balance things? Obviously, it's not going to work long term if I just bounce from one thing to another whenever it's almost done. Like it's pretty much the worst. So maybe I do just need a deadline. I might try and split my time a little bit, like be excited about the new thing. I do hope to actually build it out and deliver it one day. But then put some, still keep putting some time into the current project, maybe
Yeah.
with a deadline. I mean, May 15 sounds kind
It's
of
kind of.
ambitious for me. I could probably do end of May
Wait, do
or
you
like.
actually think it's even possible for you to wrap the space repetition thing up by May 15th? Because if
Well,
it's possible, then you should do it because you've been working on this thing for a long time.
yeah. I'm not 100% sure. Again, I'm down at the crappy stuff at the bottom of the bucket
Yeah.
right now, and some of it's crappy because it's very unknown. I don't really know what setting up the billing system is going to be like. I haven't really dealt with some of the scalability problems on the server, and I don't like there's just a lot of unknown there. So
Yeah.
it's kind of hard to say for sure. Also, to be clear, I have this large list of ideas and features and all these things that I want as part of the app, and I've really carved it down to these are the absolute bare essentials to put something out in public. So it's already a very stripped down version of what I ultimately want to do. But I just feel like if it doesn't see the light of day and hopefully start collecting some users, then the whole momentum starts to go away.
Well, we can figure out a deadline or something later.
Yeah.
But the last week when we were talking, I think you mentioned a few times, or maybe I just kept pointing it out, but you were talking about how you wanted to put some stuff out there and you just haven't
Yeah.
done that, or you kind of feel bad about it, whatever. I mean, I also kind of feel like that, but there's that bigger sort of subconscious buildup of, oh yeah, I haven't done these big projects. Mm-hmm. And so you almost kind of stay on the surface of, oh, I feel good today, so I'm going to work on this, or I'm going to work on that, which is good in itself. But there's still that lingering, like, remember when you abandoned your YouTube channel for years? You know, even though you may not think about that for a little bit,
yeah,
it's still in your subconscious, and it just feels like this thing that you need to return to, you need to close, or you need to take some action on. And so if you're feeling like, oh, I don't release things, or, you know, I don't know, if there's some sort of subconscious buildup of that you're not releasing stuff, or you don't have anything public, I don't know. I want you to feel the mental relief of putting something out there. And yeah, also it's just fun to watch. And I think it would be very rewarding.
No, you're right. It adds to the list of those little things that come visit me right as I'm trying to fall asleep and make me mm-hmm. stay awake for a little bit longer.
Yes. Yeah. So we should both try to wrap those things up or make some progress towards that.
Okay. How about this then? I could set a hard deadline of June 1st. I think for me, I know that is pushing your deadline back a little bit.
Well, I have multiple things I could attach to that. Okay. Like, I have my second YouTube video that I need to do. Yeah, I will find something to attach to that. That's very hard for me. Probably the second YouTube video. Okay, June 1st, something will happen. I like that. Yeah.
All right, I will release something on some app store. Okay.
So, are we done with that? I think we're done with that.
I guess that's...
Okay.
That's pretty set in stone, right?
Yeah. Okay, so last week I talked to you about... Or I told you I had a gallery show coming up.
Yes.
The gallery show happened. And by gallery show, I mean one painting in a gallery show. It happened. I went to it. I went to, like, the opening ceremony and everything. And it was an awards show. And it went okay. It went all right. I had, like, 8 friends come, and Heather was there. And so I had brought some people from work to go to this opening ceremony. I didn't really know what to expect or what it was like, because I'd never done it before. But I did not win any awards. I got an honorable mention, which I thought was totally fair, because there was some really good stuff there. And so I feel good about getting an honorable mention. The people were really nice. Everything was great. It was a kind of a strange experience to just put your art up in front of a bunch of strangers.
I want to ask about it. I don't know if I know enough to ask any intelligent questions.
Ask a dumb question.
Like, I've been to art galleries before, and they feel like a very upscale, cultured thing. You know, I walk around in an art gallery, and I feel this need to be very quiet and, like, have my arms held in close and look at things and think. It feels like a big deal, and I don't really know what happens to the people behind it. Like, I've gone to an art gallery and seen a whole bunch of pieces by some particular artist, and I know it wasn't your gallery, like, you're part of the gallery, right? Like, it's not all your stuff, it's just your painting, but still, what is it like being the artist behind that? I mean, do you talk to the curator? What happens? Okay.
Normally when you go to a gallery, I mean, it's quiet and, you know, yeah, I guess it's, you know, upscale or whatever, but not really. This is in downtown Winter Garden, and I went to the opening ceremony thing, or the opening show thing, whatever. There were tons of people there. It was a small space. It was completely packed, and it was kind of loud. I mean, people were kind of dressed up or whatever, but I wasn't. I probably should have been. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, they had wine and stuff, and it was fun. There was no, it wasn't like upscale and super snobby.
I mean, I just imitate what I've seen people do in movies in art galleries. That's my whole.
And that was my whole understanding of it. But no, it was fun. There's just a ton of people. I didn't get what I wanted was to watch people look at it and just sort of spy on them and see what they said or did. Yeah. And I didn't get much of that at all. It was too loud and too packed. And yeah, I don't know. It left me feeling kind of weird because I felt like I brought all these friends there and then I didn't win or didn't, you know, get anything. I mean, I got the honorable mention, which was cool, but, and you know, I really liked the pieces that won and everything, but it just felt sort of like, oh, wait, is this like, I don't know. It's like I invited all these people to my spelling bee or my basketball game or something in middle school and I lost, or I don't know. It was just a weird feeling. I just kind of felt like I let people down, even though that's probably not the case. And it was just, it left me just like right in the middle. Like I went in there feeling pretty good. Well, when I was thinking about the show, I was feeling pretty good about it. And then when I walked in, I was like, oh, there's some really good art here. Damn it. But I don't know. It was just like I was talking about watching your art kind of do these different things in different places. And luckily I've had some places where it does really well. And this just sort of, I don't really know anyone's reaction to it. And it just sort of went in the middle. And I don't really know where that leaves me. And I don't know. It didn't leave me feeling like really confident and it didn't make me feel awful. It was just sort of this, oh, I don't know.
It is weird because just, again, my experience with art galleries, the few that I've been to. I went to one, UCF has an art gallery. I went there last time I was there. I walk around. There's this, to me, very young girl. She's just in college, but they're all very young to me now. At the front. And I asked, like, oh, can I go in and walk around? She's like, yeah, go ahead. So I do. And I'm the only one there. It's the middle of the day. And I'm just looking at the art and I'm thinking, this one doesn't really do that much for me, or this is kind of neat. And I see one, I go, whoa, I really like this piece. This is really cool. I could kind of evoke something. But I don't tell anyone. There's no upvote button. I just feel that and think that and then leave. I don't report back to the girl and say, hey, like, make sure the artist knows that I was into this. Like, this one, this one gets my thumbs up. It was just a private moment for me and no one else. And then I leave. And did your lights just blink?
Yes. Just pretend you sorry, that didn't happen.
Need to acknowledge that. That was weird. It's just this private moment and that's it. And I liked it. It was, there's something very pure about it, but I can see how that's kind of weird from the artist's point. Like, you have no idea how many people saw your painting and hated it or loved it or felt moved by it or who knows.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how I felt. I have no idea. I mean, you know, a couple people said nice things or whatever, but I didn't have many conversations with people there. I don't know. So that's my review of the art shows. Just kind of, oh, I don't know still. I don't know.
I mean, an honorable mention seems pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. it was cool to see a lot of the other art. It was cool to meet a few people, but I didn't actually get to talk to a lot of people there. But
is it still there? Like, how long does the...
Yeah, it'll be up for like 2 months, I think.
Oh, wow. So... Yeah. So you're just thinking people, about the event. Like, it's very much still part of the gallery.
Yeah, so other people can go there and have private thoughts about it, and I'll never know.
Yeah.
For about 2 months, and then I still won't know. So
I honestly think... I think that's pretty amazing. I mean, it's weird. Obviously, you want to get sort of rewarded for your work, but there's something really cool about that. Especially just in today's world, it feels like... we've trended towards the absolute opposite of just wringing every possible social reward out of everything.
Yeah. So people could secretly be enjoying the piece. But I wouldn't know. And maybe that's cool, I guess. I don't know. But,
well, we can move on past
the gallery. Yeah, congrats on that, though. That is really, that's awesome. Well done. You're in a gallery.
Okay, enough of my gallery show. You mentioned something about being sick of YouTube stuff or there's something. What was the thing?
Yeah, I've been feeling really I've been for a while now, probably a few months, kind of coming down off of this, I don't know what to call it, like binge obsession, personal journey almost. I during COVID, for various reasons, I got really interested in the idea of like my own health and trying to become healthier and deal with these sort of small things that were popping up, like issues and whatnot. I noticed my blood pressure was a little higher than I wanted it to be, and some things like that. So I really went down this rabbit hole of what's out there? What does modern science have? What are the supplements I should be taking? What are the exercise protocols? How do I, optimize everything about me? And we've talked about a lot of this stuff. We talked about circadian rhythms and different protocols around that. And like we, some of that has kind of made its way onto the podcast. But I've really been on this journey there. And in the past few months, that journey has ended. Like I have returned to homeostasis personally, where I am. I mean, for quite a while, every day for probably an hour total, like on average, which is quite a lot. I would do my work, do my stuff, go make lunch, and then sit down and open up YouTube. And while I eat, I'm watching some podcast or some video, some interview by somebody talking about something health related. If I was out on a run, I'd have a podcast going from Peter Attia or Rhonda Patrick or one of those people. And I was just like absorbing all this information all the time, like kind of obsessively. And I don't really want to get into this, but a couple weeks ago there was this article published around or about Andrew Huberman, and it kind of just revealed some personal stuff about him that you could argue was maybe not the coolest thing to like dig into and announce publicly, but regardless, it kind of paints him as not as wonderful and wholesome of a person as he presents himself. And I haven't really listened to Huberman in a long time for various reasons, but I wasn't in for a little while. But anyway, I think a lot of people were, well, obviously, he's extremely popular. A lot of people were really invested in him and just all of his ideas and sort of teachings and protocols and whatnot. And so I think a lot of people have maybe felt a little bit of that same crash that I'm feeling now. Not that my feelings are related to that specifically, but it is like a little bit of a, one more thing on the pile of stuff that I'm just sick of. And I'm not even sure how to talk about it, but it's emotionally kind of a weird thing to just have invested so much time and energy into trying to absorb all this information and try and find the secrets of being better and whatever. And I'm kind of like coming out of that, and I'm left with this feeling of I think I've got a few things that are really important that I'm really trying to dedicate time and effort to. And it really boils down to like doing exercise and going to bed on time and trying to eat in roughly energy balance and trying to keep my mental health in a good place, like not being too stressed. And that's pretty much it.
So,
And
what are
I don't know if I
you
needed
ups?
thousands of hours to figure that out.
Well, what are you upset with exactly? Or what are
It's
you
hard
feeling exactly?
it's hard to articulate because I'm still like trying to piece it together, but I don't want to blame other people for this. Like this is as much my own kind of logical fallacies as anyone else's. But okay, so like forget YouTube for a second. And it's bigger than YouTube, but I'm kind of thinking of YouTube as like the platform where this is the most prevalent. I'm at a coffee shop this morning, big cafe area, and they have this hallway with these bunch of billboards where anybody can just put up whatever they want. And so there's all this stuff. Like, I'm taking a break from work. I'm just walking around my coffee looking at these billboards. Not billboards. What am I trying to say? Bulletin boards. Bulletin boards, yeah, with all this stuff on it. And so there's little flyers and papers and cards and little ads for things. And they're all like, buy this special mushroom powder that will make you smarter, or try this special class and you'll become a peaceful, wise person. Like, it's just, I can't, it's so, like, it's all so fuzzy, I can't even remember what it is, but it's just, it's all that stuff. It's magic powders and pills and these special things and ideas that are supposed to just, you know, make you a better person, improve your life in some way or another. And I go to the grocery store, you walk down the tea aisle sometime, and just with this in mind, look at the teas. It feels like playing World of Warcraft or some fantasy game where you walk into a potion shop and you're like, oh, this one gives you plus 10 stamina, or this one will add 10% to your spellcast duration. That's what the tea aisle of the grocery store is like. It's like, this one clears your mind, this one helps you sleep, this one does this, this one does that. There's just this obsession with this idea that, like, a very simple thing can affect your life in a meaningful way. And the YouTube health, biohacking, personal optimization genre, this massive field. I mean, there's probably hundreds of people that are, more than hundreds, thousands, that are making full-time income off of just talking about this stuff. There's this promise to it. You start looking at this, you start listening to a podcast from some medical doctor who's done research in this field, and there's this promise of, hey, there's really important stuff here, and if you learn this and if you figure it out, you know, it's going to really change things for you. And I've bought and tried so many different supplements and silly things, and I've, you know, tried different protocols and all kinds of stuff. And over the course of a long time, I have just started to walk away from that thinking, I don't think any of this stuff matters to even like 10% of what's being promised. I don't think ashwagandha really does a whole lot for you. I don't think that vitamin C is gonna, like, it just, I'm just so burnt out on it and tired of all the, just tired of all of it. And but I don't
vitamin
have
D does a lot, right? That was one episode you said vitamin D changes everything.
I think I said that sarcastically. I
no
hope I'm not wrong, but I think,
but yeah, I know what you mean. We've been doing this podcast for, has it been 3 years?
It's around there. Maybe not quite, but it's close.
We started in 2020, I think. Whatever. It's been like almost 3 years or something like that. And over 100 episodes. I can say that definitively. Yeah. And at the beginning, I felt like, oh man, you know, we can talk about perfectionism or procrastination. We have all of these topics lined up, and then, you know, every new week it's like, no, I found the secret this week, or, you know, mm-hmm. just every week felt like we were discovering the secret or figuring it out once and for all, you know, found the answer to life or how to be productive or whatever. And nowadays I'll run into an issue and I feel, it feels familiar. It's like, oh, my sleep schedule's all screwed up again for the 100th time. You know, I recognize this. I know what I need to do, but it's very difficult to do that. And I know I need to do this, but it's hard to do that. And I just, a lot of the problems that I'm running into, I recognize, which I don't like that I recognize them, because I already kind of know there are solutions, and it's not that exciting. It's just this simple, sometimes difficult thing that I need to do that's not that exciting, like actually go to bed on time. It's very simple. I just have to do it. but I'm not doing it for this reason or that reason. Sometimes they're good reasons, sometimes they're not so good or whatever. But all of my beliefs for so long have been that it's just like one thing. If I could just learn this one thing, then I'll be good at art, or I'll be a super productive person, or I'll be able to stay really focused. Or you learn the Pomodoro technique, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've unlocked this superpower or whatever. And just over time, after exploring a lot of these things, they are great. Like, there's a lot of great things you learn from all this different stuff. And then you learn a lot of it, and you're still struggling to do just like daily things. It's just always difficult. And maybe this is going a little bit outside of what you're saying, but
I think
humans are built to believe that there is a, like, some sort of nirvana or perfect balance of a human. Like, I think that we are built to believe in, like, this perfect balance, or, you know, you reach your perfect health and your heart rate's perfect and everything's perfect and you work out every single day and you can run forever and your health is just maximum perfect. Your happiness is perfect. You're happy with everything. You're content. You're content with everything you have. You're just this perfect person. I think we are built to believe that and always strive for it, but never actually get it. It's not a possible thing. If maybe a tea you bought makes you really happy one day, but if you drink it every single day for 6 months, you might be kind of sick of it by the end. And that's just because humans get used to things and then they want something else. And it's just this perpetual thing where something works for a while and then it doesn't work. And then you have to find something else that works for a while and then it doesn't work. And it's just always moving. And you never reach that 100% perfect everything. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't exist. You don't become, like, in an artistic world, you do not just get to some skill level and you've mastered it. Like, we even use the term master for people. But if you actually go and look at the people we call masters from the past, they were never satisfied being at the level they were at. They wanted to be better. They wanted to keep experimenting and learning. They never stopped. They just got past a certain point that we understood, so we called them a master and we just left it at that. But it never ends. Like, it never, ever ends. And, I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to try not to just, like, complain and sound... I don't feel defeated. I have the emotion of feeling defeated, but actually it's not. Like, I feel pretty confident in where I'm at right now. So, two things. One, with what you're saying, like, kind of searching and looking for these things, I think of it a bit like going to Best Buy and looking at the televisions in their big TV cathedral and looking at all the little cards that they have underneath the TVs. And it's funny because the manufacturers, or I don't know, Best Buy, whoever does these, they put these little features on the cards of, like, what's great about this TV. And it's like, it's made up bullshit. It's just nonsensical things. Like, this TV has super magic motion plus star thing. And this TV, it's absolute made up garbage. And you're supposed to look at these things and be like, oh, wow, this one has superstar ultra bright something or other. Really, a TV is a matrix of, it's a two-dimensional matrix of pixels. And you largely just want the highest quality picture that you can get at whatever given size. Like, there's nothing to talk about. It's just which one has the better picture, which has deeper blacks, which has better color reproduction. But, like, they're not going to put those metrics on there because the manufacturers don't want that. They want to do all this silly nonsense.
What should they say? This is good TV. This
nothing.
Is really good.
It should put the... It should put color reproduction graphs on there so you can see how much of, I don't know how, I forget how they rate it, but it's like, you know, out of this spectrum of color reproduction, how good is it? Like, that's all you care about. You know how big it is. You figure out what size TV you want I bought a TV last week. I think I mentioned this. I don't know why this is on my mind. Just think about TVs a lot, which is weird as a metaphor for life. But that's it. Like, it doesn't matter what they should or shouldn't put. The only metric of a TV is just how good of a picture is it. I'm just going to plug in a Chromecast through an HDMI port, and I want it to do a really good job showing me that picture. That's it. There's nothing else. It doesn't matter if that's like kind of inconvenient for sales. That's all there is. And so everything else is garbage.
Let's reel in this metaphor.
Yeah, sorry. I'm getting lost. I'm just literally talking about how much I hate shopping for TVs now. I've fallen into the metaphor. No, that's what it feels like shopping around for health information. I think Peter Attia said this really well. And ironically, I don't really remember exactly what he said. But it was something to the effect of like, if you're a social media person and you can't deadlift double your body weight, shut up. Don't talk about anything else. Or if your VO2 max is not above, you know, like in the top 10 percentile, just you don't get to say anything. The point being that your physical fitness, like just exercise and getting strong and having a good cardiovascular system, it just trumps everything by an order of magnitude at least. So it just doesn't matter. Everyone should just shut up and go for a run or lift weights, because that's it. There's just that totally blows everything else out of the water.
Yeah, not a lot of money to be made in saying that.
And I to kind of to tie it back to like reality and what you're saying about I think there's this huge desire to search and look for secrets and try to find things and discover the magic potions that will make your life better and whatever. But I don't like trying to just put things on a card and think of them like features, like, oh, I could take this supplement and I could do this thing and I could add this into my life and that thing into my life and it'll just add up to me feeling amazing and being so happy and content. Like, I just don't think that's how it works at all. I think as I started this journey into YouTube health land, I had the wrong mental model. I thought that I could start to assemble all these things and add them in and make myself wonderful. But I think really the model is more like StarCraft. And I know you were wondering when I would start talking about StarCraft again, but here we are. So you remember back when I was playing that a lot and trying to get into Grandmaster. All right, yeah. So the same thing would happen in this game. You know, the game is designed in a way where there is more things to do than you can keep up with. It's just you're on this large map with bases and armies, and you know, you can spend your time trying to optimize your base, or you can spend your time trying to split up your army and like get the most out of any engagements or prioritize map vision. There's all this stuff to do. And there's this natural tendency. You see this on, you know, the subreddits or, you know, people talking about the game. Like, oh, I just discovered this build and I think it's great and it's going to make me really good. Like, there's this natural tendency to kind of look for the secrets in the same way that you go looking for secrets in the YouTube health universe. But I think what I eventually settled on as the correct mental model for the game was a rank ordered list of priorities, in the sense that there is this thing at the very top, which is I'm trying to think of how to put this into like normal non-gamey words. Essentially, how fast can you execute whatever it is you're trying to do? So if I'm going to attack somebody in the game with my army, you know, my plan is to build 20 units and attack them with 20 units. The number one thing that matters more than anything else is how quickly can I do that? You know, can I be at their base at 5 minutes and 4 seconds? If that's the perfect time, then that is the most important thing in the entire game. And if I, you know, show up at their base at 5 minutes and 30 seconds, I have failed miserably on that metric. So that is the number one thing. So anytime I play a game and I'm going to try and execute this build, if I'm able to actually attack at 5 minutes and 4 seconds, I'm able to fully, you know, check off that first item. Then I can begin to think about the second item. Think, okay, well, I executed the build on time, so how well did I move my army? Did I attack at the right angles? Did I split up correctly? You know, did I do the small unit control well? Like, that could be number two. And then number three could be like the follow-up. But what tends to happen is, as you're searching for the secret, the thing you have to do to start winning games, oftentimes that number one item will slip. And if I'm not paying attention to it, and I start hitting at 5 minutes and 25 seconds instead of 5 minutes and 4 seconds, then nothing else matters, and I can forget about it. Like, it doesn't matter that I did this one tiny little thing. Anyway, obscure metaphor there. But I think that is the mental model for health that I have now, which is the number one thing that matters is, well, maybe it's two things, but exercising hard consistently and then eating at like a reasonable energy balance. I no longer think that much about what I eat, because I think it just doesn't matter nearly as much as I thought it did. I don't think much about supplements and nutrients and all that kind of stuff. Ultimately, that's just really what matters. And I think I had it right well before I went on this little journey, when I was really getting into lifting weights and that whole world. I decided that I was just going to focus on making the numbers go up in terms of what I could lift. That was the only thing I cared about. I wasn't going to worry about anything else. I didn't care about stamina. I didn't care about looks or bodybuilding or anything else. It was just, how much can I squat? Can I make that number go up? How much can I deadlift? Can I make that number go up? And that just carried me through years. And I got, you know, relative to my body weight and everything, I got really strong, and it worked really well. And I kind of, like, it's the simplest thing. That was it. That was my entire system, entire model. And I, you know, recently got into running. I've been doing that for a while, and it's been super up and down. I thought, well, I got to do all this zone two, or I have to cycle through these different programs and blah, blah, blah. And oh, maybe I need to eat differently, and like all these other things. And ultimately, I think that was stupid, and none of that stuff really mattered. What really mattered was just, hey, can I run a little bit faster than I did last time? Or can I run a little bit longer than I did last time? And that is what I have just fully focused on. And it's serving me really well in the past several months. And it's just fully taking me out of this world of random feature bullet points and secrets and potions and whatever.
You're using this to describe the world of whatever you just called it, the superhuman health world, whatever, the secrets of health, whatever, that world.
Yeah.
But this applies to so many things. And I've seen this in myself, but a lot of other people, in music and in art, really anything. And I was talking to a friend of mine a little bit ago. He really is taking art very seriously. He wants to be an artist, you know, he wants to be a professional artist, whatever. He started a couple years ago, but he is so obsessed with all of the things that a good art student tends to be obsessed with, when you start getting into art education, like online, you see, you must learn perspective. You must learn all of anatomy ever. Like, you must understand everything about anatomy. You need to know color theory and this and this. And there's just this enormous list of things that you must learn before you become an artist. And if you listen to all the instructors online, or all of the online material for art education, they zero in on all of these magic potions that you have to take in order to become a legitimate artist. And if you follow their advice, you will spend the rest of your life, and if you live forever, you would spend forever just learning these things and never making a single piece of art. Like, that's what that world wants from you, is to learn all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I saw it a lot in music when I was younger, being surrounded by a lot of like band kids and every, like, the people who actually knew stuff about music, but I was just writing it. And all of them were so obsessed with I must learn everything about music theory. I don't understand modes well enough, and I have to learn, you know exactly who I'm talking about. And they get so obsessed with these little bits of music theory, thinking that it will be the secret. And once they understand that, then they'll be able to write music. And it's just, it just never works. They're always searching for the magic potion. And it's because they don't have that priority. I lose this priority myself a lot. So that if I could just prioritize making art, and then when I run into a problem, you go look for the solution, you go look for the potion to heal that ailment at the time, and then you get back to the priority, which is making art or making music or working out and eating right. And just like,
yeah,
I really like that. And it should be clear what the priority is as an artist, as a person, that just as a human being working out or whatever, the important things to you in life, period. Mm-hmm. Those priorities should be clear, because it's so easy to go chasing after the magic potions. So I like that.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not saying that nothing matters and, you know, there's only just the one fundamental thing and nothing else. I like with the StarCraft example, the little stuff does matter, especially if you're talking about the absolute highest level. Like those little tiny details, they do matter. They just pale in comparison to the absolute most important things that just have to be there in order for anything else to be even worth thinking about. Like what Peter Attia was saying. If you are super fit and you're really strong and you're got great cardio, then hey, you can think about these other things. Maybe you do get to talk a little bit about it. But if you're not, then forget it, because that's just so much more important than anything else. So I've just had to kind of ground myself in that thinking of, okay, this is how I'm going to approach health and myself and all of these things. And I don't really need to spend hours and hours, unless I want to, like if it's just entertainment or infotainment, that's fine. But I don't need to listen to podcast after podcast trying to search for, you know, oh man, what tiny little obscure micronutrient should I add into my diet to, you know, that has some random, you know, little paper published somewhere that maybe it helps somebody. Yeah. I don't need to do that if I'm not. But here's a more concrete example. One of the things I've been kind of paying attention to and concerned with, and you've heard me bring it up quite a few times, is my resting heart rate. It's this concrete metric that relates to health, and like I'm thinking, oh, I want my resting heart rate to be lower. That's actionable. It's honest, right? And so I've tried all these different things. I've tried different supplements. I've tried, you know, meditation. I've tried lots of things to try and improve my resting heart rate, and thinking, oh, maybe if I do this, maybe if I do that. Like I'm kind of been kind of obsessed with it. But and it's the kind of thing that fluctuates day to day, and certain, like a lot of things do affect it. And so it's very easy to get really obsessed with, oh man, I lowered the temperature in my bedroom last night by 2 degrees and I think it went down by one beat. Like it's crazy to, you can start to think of it that way. But I started looking at my historic data that, you know, measured via the watch, and looking at my resting heart rate, not every single day, but as a rolling average over time. And it inversely correlates very tightly with my running volume. So I look at past months and just how much I was running and what my resting heart rate is. And it's very tightly related in that more running, lower resting heart rate. That's it. All the little ups and downs every day, it doesn't matter. You know, yes, maybe I can affect it by a beat or two by doing this one random thing, but ultimately, as my running volume is higher, it drops. So what am I wasting all this time thinking about this for? And of course, everyone knows that. Like the fitter you are, the lower your resting heart rate. I didn't need to spend months and months pondering this or obsessing over it. I should have just tried to get really fit if I want my heart rate to go down. That's it. End of problem, solution, differential diagnosis. So that's just what I'm focused on now. It's like, all right, let's just go out and do this stuff and turn off stupid podcasts. And just do the fundamentals.
It's like if you take care of the big things, the little stuff just sort of, they take care of themselves. And I mean, you can see that as this I've had a lot of wine. You can see this in simple things like, I mean, just a painting, a literal single painting that you're doing. If there's a time crunch, or let's say you have an hour to do the painting, you only have time to think about the most important stuff. And you leave out all these little details, and you just, mm-hmm. you go and you're constantly just zeroing in on the things that matter the most, and everything else you just let go of. But if you have an eternity to work on this piece, like I have right now, mm-hmm. and the problem I'm running into, you just get focused on these weird little details that don't matter at all, and you obsess about them, and you think, if I just paint this rock a perfect way, then, you know. So I go down all of these rabbit trails of like researching rocks and looking up rocks, and it's like, it's just a goddamn rock. Like, just paint the rock and move on, because it's really not important to this piece. And yeah, it's like I need to be pulled out and just see the bigger picture. What actually matters here? How much time do you have? Whatever, like, just get it done and be done with it. And I find when I have a shorter amount of time to do a piece, it usually ends up, I don't know about better, but it ends up being more impactful or more concentrated in the important stuff and less finicky stuff that doesn't matter. Like, I must have spent a month or almost a month painting seaweed in that big squid painting. There's seaweed all over the beach. Yeah. And I don't even see it when I look at the painting now. Like, no one notices the seaweed.
I didn't realize there was seaweed on the beach.
It seemed really important at the time, though, so I painted it. But it wasn't that important.
Yeah.
So, do important stuff, and other things will take care of themselves.
All right. I like that. Let's close on that note. And along those lines, June 1st, right?
June 1st. Yeah. Okay. June 1st. I finish my painting and my YouTube video.
Like you aren't sure.
On June 1st, I must have my painting and second YouTube video, not YouTube short, an actual YouTube video uploaded. Yes. Painting and YouTube. Oh, God. I'm going to hate myself for that. Painting and YouTube. Okay. And you have to release an entire app on the App Store. I want it on my phone, even though I already have it on my phone because I have the testing app. But I want the official app on my phone June 1st. That means it must be submitted like a week before that so they can approve it, right?
Or disapprove it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
It does.
This is exciting. All right. See you next week.
Cool. Yeah. Talk to you then.